we're continuing our series, Live by the Spirit. When we live by the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is produced in our life. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Today we're going to look at faithfulness. Some might think that faithfulness is boring, like it's just no big deal. But without faithfulness, I want to tell you, the rest of the fruit won't last. We got to have this faithfulness in our life. It's something supernatural. It's something that the Spirit produces. And it is a powerful force in our lives. See, faithfulness is the character quality that produces, that causes us to be faithful. To be faithful is to be loyal, constant, reliable, trustworthy. It's to be true to one's word. To be faithful, it implies stability, dependability, devotion, steadfast fidelity. And again, I think some people think, well, all that sounds pretty boring. I want to tell you, this is a powerful force in our life when we are somebody that has real faithfulness in our life. See, some people act like living by the Spirit will make you weird and flighty. The Holy Spirit doesn't make people flakes. That's not right. In fact, living by the Spirit will make you reliable. It will make you loyal and trustworthy. I got one amen from my sweet wife down here. I'm gonna say it again. The Spirit leading you, being in charge of your life, doesn't make you weird. No, He makes you reliable. He makes you loyal. He makes you trustworthy. He makes you faithful. Faithfulness. That day after day, we keep our word. We do what we say we're going to do. We show up no matter what others do. No, hear this. No matter what others do, we do what the Lord wants us to do. See, there's a whole lot of Christians in this world. They're not being faithful, and instead they're pointing the finger at what others did or didn't do. I want to tell you, when we stand before God, nobody's going to say, but you know, Lord, look at them, Lord. No, nobody's going to say any such thing to God. We will give an account to the Lord for what we did or didn't do. Faithful. To be faithful, well, it's to be full of faith. If you're full of faith, you'll be faithful. And I want you to understand that how important this is, because a lot of the time, people turn to God in faith when they're going through a hard time. Certainly we should. But then, when they get past the hard time, they just put God back up on the shelf like He's some kind of idol until they need Him again. They are unfaithful. The children of Israel did this again and again when they would have a hard time, when their enemies would attack them, oppress them. They would turn to God, and God would deliver them and get things set back right. And then, again, when things were going well, they would go back to their old ways. They were unfaithful. And I'm just saying to you, you see, that if we have a real and living faith, we are a faithful people. The Holy Spirit produces this in our life. So many Christians, seems like they serve God, they love God when it's convenient for them, when God, you know, will fit into their schedule. But they're not faithful. We need this fruit of faithfulness in our lives. We need this faithfulness to be true to our commitment to serve the Lord each and every day. Jesus said that we are to take up our cross daily. Daily, every day, we take up our cross, the plan, the purpose, the will of God in our life. Every single day, we take up our cross. Not sometimes, not Sundays. Every day. You see, we got to be faithful to that. It can't just be a once in a while thing. It's amazing how many people think they can date Jesus. It's all or nothing. It has always been all or nothing with Jesus. We got to take up that cross daily. We got to be faithful to the call of God in our life. You know, we're living in this culture where it's just okay to go back on your word. It's okay to break your vows. Just any time that you want to change your mind about what you said, just on a whim, for any reason or no reason, it doesn't really matter. It's however you feel in the moment. That's the world that we live in. And here's what I want to say about that. How different we are when we have this fruit of faithfulness in our life. It'll make you a standout. You know, some people, they'll say, well, I didn't give you my word. I might have said that, but I didn't give you my word. We got all these different levels, you know. You said it. You gave your word. You promised. You swore. All these different levels. You know what Jesus says about that? He says, all of this is evil. He says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. In other words, just the fact that we said it, that's all. If we said it, we live by it. We don't go back on it. Faithfulness, keeping your word. It's being reliable. Isn't that exciting? Yeah. It is exciting when you understand the benefits and where that ends up. Because I'm going to tell you right now, God blesses and honors faithfulness. He is a faithful God and He has called us to be faithful. Faithfulness is being faithful to God. It's being faithful to His call and purpose in our life. It's being faithful to His people. It's being faithful to our family. It's being faithful to our word. God is faithful. From beginning to end, He's faithful. Psalm 119, verse 89 and 90, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. He's always faithful. He always does what He says He will do. He told Noah that there was going to be a great flood and he better build a boat to save his family. The years went by, 50 to 100 years, we don't know exactly. When is this going to happen? Noah didn't know. But God did exactly what He said He was going to do. And after the flood and the waters receded, God put a rainbow in the sky as a covenant that He would never flood the earth again. And He has kept His word. He is always faithful. Whatever He says He will do, that's what He does. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Every time you wake up in the morning, His mercies are new. Every time we wake up in the morning, it ought to remind us of the faithfulness of God. Another day. You know, most people are faithful maybe as long as you are. But God is not faithful just because we are. He's faithful because it is who He is. In 2 Timothy 2:13, it says, if we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. No matter what we do, God is still faithful. We fail. He never fails. Sometimes we're too weak. He's all powerful. Sometimes we just don't know. He knows everything. No matter how sincere we are, there's times that we don't keep our word because our mouth overloaded our ability. I mean, there were unforeseen things that we didn't know. We had good intentions, but we just didn't have the ability to see it through. But here's the thing about God. That never happens. He knows the beginning and the end. And He has all the power and all the wisdom and all the knowledge. He always does what He says He will do. It is a matter of character. He always keeps His word. He always does what is right. Numbers 23 and 19 says, God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent. Has He said, and will He not do? Or has He spoken, and will He not make it good? That's our God. And we are His people. We are His children. You know, true faithfulness is a hard thing to find in our world today. It's been going on a long time. In Psalm 12 and verse 1 and 2, David prayed, help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. They speak idly, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips and a double heart they speak. He's saying that faithfulness disappears, that people don't keep their word. They use flattery to deceive. You can't trust them. David says it's hard to find anybody that's truly faithful. And I think this was probably something that was really, really important to David as a warrior. He wanted faithful people around him, people that he could count on. And I have to tell you this morning that for me, I count my close friends as those that I can truly trust. People that are faithful. In fact, I don't really care as far as a close friend, whether or not somebody is a close friend. I don't care how much money they make. I don't care how successful they are. I don't care what abilities and talents they have. I don't care. That's not an issue for me. I don't care how good looking they are. What matters to me is that I can trust them, that they are loyal, that I know that they have my back. And I'm telling you that these are things that really matter in this world, is whether or not we are faithful people. I mean, can the Lord really trust us? Can He count on us? It's so lacking in our world today. Proverbs 20 and 6 asks, who can find a faithful man? You see, when it comes to human ability, you know, some are better than others, but the truth is that all of us fail in some way at some point. All of us fall short. But here's what I want to encourage you with this morning. We are not just depending upon our own human self. No, we're relying on the Holy Spirit. That as we allow Him to lead and guide our lives, this fruit of the Spirit is produced in our life. The fruit of faithfulness. This is something that comes from God. The God who is faithful. We just talked about this a lot from the scripture. This God who is faithful, He is our Father. We've been born of Him. We need to understand this. John 1:12, as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in His name. You see, the faithful God, He's our Father. We really are His children. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. We're His children. We need to act like it. You need to realize if you are a born-again child of God, that He lives inside of you, the faithful God. And as we allow Him to lead and guide our lives, we can be faithful. We have this fruit of faithfulness in our life. It comes from the Holy Spirit. It originates with the faithfulness of God. You know, when we talk about the fruit of faithfulness, we just need to realize how rare this really is in our world. It'll make you a standout in this world. I mean, a world that's always changing every other sentence, in a world where they don't hold to contracts, they don't even care about vows that they made. This makes you a standout when you have this kind of faithfulness in your life. Now the Lord, see, it may not be impressive to people sometimes, although I'm going to tell you that there's a whole lot of people that would like to have a faithful friend. But I want you to understand this, though. With God, this is what's important. Faithfulness. You see, I know I talked about it for what I look for in a friend or what I expect in a close friend. I'm telling you, God does not care about somebody's great success. He doesn't care how much money they've made. He doesn't care about their great abilities. Or the lack of it. What He does care about is their faithfulness. We kind of get this backwards sometimes. We forget what's really important. In 1974, U.S. Senator Mark Hatfield toured Calcutta. He met with Mother Teresa, and they visited the so-called House of the Dying, where sick children were cared for in their last days. And they went to the dispensary where the poor line up by the hundreds to receive medical attention. And he's watching Mother Teresa minister to all these people. He was just overwhelmed with the magnitude of the suffering that she and her co-workers dealt with every day. And he asked her, he said, how can you bear the load without being crushed by it? And she just simply said, I am not called to be successful. I'm called to be faithful. And oh, if we could just understand that. That's what we're called to. You see, so much of the time, this world operates just on this pursuit of success. And it's so true even in the church world today, where success is glamorized. But you see, the truth is that for me and every single one of you, what's really important to God is faithfulness. And he can use that kind of faithfulness. Not those that are seeking success, but those that are seeking to be faithful to what God has given them to do. Faithfulness. Keeping our word, doing what we said we'd do, sticking with someone, even through difficult times. A relationship where you feel like you give more than you get. Being faithful. Faithfulness. Sticking with a friend when they make a bad choice. Faithfulness. It is in the day-to-day faithfulness that the seeds of fruitfulness and growth and greatness are sown. The day-to-day faithfulness. That's right. That faithfulness that seems so unimportant, that seems so insignificant, boring even, that's where the seeds of fruitfulness and growth in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells what we call the parable of the talents. And he talks about that the kingdom of heaven is like a man who's going to travel to a far country. And so he calls his servants together and he entrusts to one of them 5 talents. It was a great sum of money. He entrusts another 2 talents, still a great sum of money. And to another 1 talent, still a great sum of money. And when he returns, the man who had 5 talents, he comes and he says, Lord, here's your 5 talents back, plus 5 more. And the Lord says to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in to the joy of your Lord. The man who had 2 talents, the same thing happens. He comes and he says, here's your 2 talents plus 2 more. And the Lord says to him, you were faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over much. Enter in to the joy of your Lord. Now I want you to catch this here. You see, it might have seemed like a whole lot. But he says, you were faithful over a few things. Now you're going to be ruler over much. You see, God is looking for that kind of faithfulness. Those that will be faithful over a few things. And then the one who had been trusted with 1 talent, he comes. And he says, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. The other 2, the Lord said to them, good and faithful servant, faithful. But to this man, he says, you wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed, so you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. At my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. So take that talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. I want to tell you, there's a whole lot of people that think, well, that's not fair. God rewards faithfulness. And when we are not faithful with what God has given us, even what we have will be taken away. Now, some people, you know, we often relate this to eternity. We sang the song this morning about hearing the words, well done. And I certainly think that it speaks of eternity, that yes, there is ultimately a reward that's going to be given to the faithful in eternity. But I don't think that that's strictly what this parable is about. This is a principle that impacts our life even here and now in the day-to-day. That when we are faithful to God, He rewards us. There is great joy in that. And when we don't, we are being wicked and lazy. And here's why I say it's not just about eternity, because I can assure you, if this is about eternity, then those who have not done their best for God, they're in a world of hurt, because He says in verse 30, cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, that there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. No, we just need to understand this principle of the kingdom, that we are required. This is what's required of us, that we be faithful with what God has entrusted to us. And we don't have to wait till we get to heaven for God to give us His approval and say, well done, good and faithful servant. You can have great joy even in this life when you're a faithful servant. He blesses, He honors, and He rewards faithfulness. Faithfulness. I hope that this speaks to you in some way. No matter who you are, if you're a born-again child of God, you need to know that your faithfulness matters. Don't get caught up in the thinking, the attitudes of the world. I read a story about an elderly preacher. He was ministering at this church, and before the service one Sunday, one of the deacons came and rebuked him. He said, in the past year, only one person has been added to this church, and that's a little boy. And the minister's eyes teared up, and his voice trembled. He said, I know. He said, I've done the best I can. And he felt the weight of that. He preached his message, and at the end of the service, he was thinking about resigning. But everybody left except for this little boy. And that one little boy, he came to talk to him, and he said, Pastor, do you think that if I go to school, do you think that someday maybe God could use me to be a preacher, to be a missionary? And the pastor thought to himself, oh, this makes it all worth it. He told that young man, he said, Robert, yes, God absolutely can use you as a preacher, as a missionary. Many, many years later, an aged missionary returns to London from Africa after great successful ministry. Important people would invite him to their homes. He had had such an impact in Africa. His name was Robert Moffat, the same Robert that had spoken to the pastor that day. Now here's the thing. You see, the thing about faithfulness is sometimes it's not glamorous. Sometimes it's in obscurity that nobody knows your name. I don't know the name of that pastor. He wasn't famous. Robert Moffat was. But God knows his name. And in eternity, who will have the greater reward? This nameless pastor, or this missionary who saw so much fruit in his life and ministry? I don't know, but I have a feeling that in eternity they both are going to have a great reward. And you need to understand that what you do, you may see it as some little thing. You may think it doesn't matter, or you may think that sometimes you just haven't been as successful at being used of God and what God wanted to do. But you don't know what a difference your faithfulness may have made. Paul could give no higher recommendation than to say that someone was faithful. He writes in 1 Corinthians 4:17, "I'm sending to you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord." In Ephesians 6:21, he writes, "Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord." He didn't commend them and brag about their talents and their abilities the way that people do today. Instead, he said, "These men are faithful servants in the Lord." This is what's important to God, is that we are faithful. God uses that. And here's the thing. God used Paul and these men. You see, their names were mentioned once in the scripture. Other than that, they were unknown. And there's a lot of servants of the Lord that were used of God at that time, and their names weren't recorded once. They're unknown. And yet they turned the world upside down. And here's what I'm wanting to say to you. You see, faithfulness. Yes, sometimes we're just unknown. We feel like we're nobody. But you see, it is in our faithfulness that God accomplishes what he desires to do in this world. One of the things that Paul was most grateful for was that Jesus considered him to be faithful. He writes in 1 Timothy 1:12, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service." And I want to tell you that today in the church, there are many people who are faithful. They faithfully serve. They faithfully give. They faithfully pray. And sometimes we don't see the change we want to see. We don't see the fruitfulness we want to see. But we need to trust God. He's faithful. That God will use our faithfulness. I want to tell you right now that there are missionaries on the other side of the world that are blessed and are able to reach people because of your faithfulness. I want to tell you right now, there are lives that are being changed in this church. I mean, I'm just amazed how many young people and how many children are saved all the time in this church. And even here in this service, there are adults whose lives are being changed. And here's what I have to say about that. If you are a faithful part of this church, faithful to serve and to give and to pray, you are a part of every one of those lives being changed for eternity. Don't discount faithfulness. No, it is an awesome thing. Don't ever let the devil tell you that what little you have to offer doesn't matter. It's a lie. God takes our little and makes it much. See, sometimes it's a deception that we think that what we do is not important. Luke 6:10, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much." You see, we got to be faithful even in the little things. Faithful in prayer. Romans 12:12, continuing steadfastly in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Colossians 4:2, continue earnestly in prayer. I've talked about George Mueller a few times over the years, such an amazing man, missionary that started so many orphanages. But George Mueller was a praying man. When he got saved, he began praying for five of his friends. He prayed for 5 years before the first one was converted. He prayed 10 years for the second one. He prayed 25 years for the third one. For the fourth, he prayed 50 years. The last one was not converted before George died. He prayed for him for 52 years. But he came to George's gravesite when he died, and he knelt there and gave his life to the Lord. That's the faithful prayer of a man for his friends. What a difference it made and makes in eternity. Wow. Ezekiel 22 and 30 says, I sought for a man among them who would make up a wall and stand in the gap before me on the behalf of the land that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. I just want to say I thank God for those of you that pray, that intercede. I know that in this world you don't get much recognition, but what a difference you make because you pray. We got to be faithful in ministry. I'll tell you a story. It's a normal man named Edward Kimball. He worked a normal job, attended a normal church. He faithfully taught a normal Bible study class. And one day, a young man named Dwight visited his class. And Dwight didn't seem to know the Bible. And so one night, Edward Kimball went to visit him at the shoe store where he worked, and he shared the gospel with him. And that shoe clerk gave his life to the Lord that day, Dwight. Some of you know his name, Dwight L. Moody. He became a great evangelist in England. And that zeal that he had stirred the heart of Frederick B. Meyer, pastor of a small church. Meyer preached to an American college campus where a young man named J. Wilbur Chapman came to the Lord. Chapman was engaged in work with the YMCA, and he employed a former baseball player, Billy Sunday, to do evangelistic work. Billy Sunday held a revival in North Carolina. A group of local men were so excited afterwards that they planned another evangelistic campaign and brought in Mordecai Ham to preach. Some of you think, what is all this? I just want you to see where one man's faithfulness ended up. During Ham's revival, a young man named Billy Graham heard the gospel and gave his life to Christ. You just don't know. You just don't know what your faithfulness is going to mean in somebody else's life. It matters. Jesus, he's always our example of faithfulness. He is a faithful high priest. You can count on Jesus. When he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, they don't ever have to wonder. 1 John 1:9, it tells us if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's faithful to do it. If you need forgiveness this morning, if you'll confess your sins to him, he is faithful. He'll forgive you and cleanse you. John was given a vision of the future. In Revelation 19, beginning with verse 11, he says, Now I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. That's our Savior. He's called Faithful and true. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. The armies in heaven. In Jude 14, it says that he's coming with thousands and thousands of his saints. There's a time when the Lord Jesus is coming back to reign and to rule on this earth, to set up a physical kingdom here on this world. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Some of us like to ride. One day we're going to ride with Jesus. I want to tell you, the faithful one, it is going to be his faithful followers that ride with him that day. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Faithful. He is faithful. And I encourage you, I challenge you today, look to the Holy Spirit, trust him to help you to be faithful in everything that you fulfill, what God has for you to do in this life. Faithfulness. He will give you that strength, that ability to be faithful. Stand with me. We're going to pray. I want our prayer partners to come.